This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hi, welcome to For Colored Nerds. I'm Brittany.
This is Eric.
And today is a special day.
Today is a special day. It's Saturday, and it is, wait, it's Saturday, It's cold outside.
What else?
We're black still.
We are. It hasn't changed. Wouldn't change it.
Is it your birthday?
It is my birthday! It's my birthday today. Good job guessing that, Eric. I am 27 years old, I'm proud to say.
That's great. You made it.
I know. I really did. I made it 27.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And hopefully we get one more year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping so.
Hopefully, you know, I'm not even going to come at you.
I really appreciate that. I'm going to let that slide. That's good. That's my birthday gift.
All right, there you go.
Thank you.
But today we're going to talk a little bit about politics.
A little bit of do a little politicking.
A little politicking. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that. That was good.
That was good.
So, the election just happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it did just happen 2 weeks ago.
And a lot of shit went down. I thought it was pretty interesting. I think it's interesting because I'm interested in politics.
I work in politics. Yeah.
But a lot of things happened that I thought were really cool and really did a really good job of forecasting what could happen going forward.
We were given a lot of data.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's not a secret that the Democrats lost pretty bad. Really bad.
I think actually one of the words that you had used earlier when describing a term that was used in forecasting was bloodbath.
Yeah.
What actually happened was even slightly worse than that.
Yeah. It was bad. So we lost we never had the House. We were never going to get the House.
Okay.
But we definitely lost the Senate.
Hard.
Yeah.
We ate that.
Yeah. And luckily, you know, there wasn't a presidential election. Well, actually, we might have done better.
No, I mean, we might have just been able to get a little bit more
momentum.
Yeah, something.
But yeah, this shit was bad. The turnout overall was pretty low.
Well, midterm elections traditionally have low turnout, though.
Very true.
People hate voting in midterm elections.
Yeah. The thing is, a lot of times it's hard for people to connect that something different is going to happen after I do this.
A lot of people don't pay attention to like legislation in general. So like, it's not, they can't really like, I don't think it's actually, like, I think it's important to care about it, but I don't think everybody has the time or the resources to always be up on stuff like that.
Yeah. We are out here trying to live.
Right. A lot of people are out here trying to live. So I think a lot of people can't connect the dots between like who they vote for in a midterm election and then what may eventually happen.
Yeah.
Important information.
Yeah.
Important information,
say the least.
But not everybody can really connect to it.
But yeah, so the turnout was pretty bad, and we don't want to talk. We're not going to talk about like every race and which ones we lost, all that stuff. That I think is
no. That's like, I mean, you can Google that. And
yeah, it's going to take a long time.
Right,
it's kind of boring.
And I gotta turn up.
Yeah, you gotta get your hair done.
I do. I forgot to get.
Not because it looks bad.
I mean, I have a snatchback right now. I look like I literally just got out of a pool. Go ahead.
But one of the like big races that I wanted to talk about was Texas. So Texas was in this particular like race was a big deal. There is a new organization called like Battleground Texas that's like all about trying to turn Texas blue.
Yes.
And the poster child for that was the governor's race or the candidate for the governor's race, Wendy Davis.
Wendy Davis, our girl.
Yeah. And just a quick, lightning quick recap. Mm-hmm. Wendy Davis was a legislator in Texas, and she kind of rose to fame really quick.
Really quick.
Because she...
0 to 100, yeah. Actually, with that filibuster.
Yeah. She tried to filibuster, sadly, unsuccessfully, some new abortion legislation that was being passed in the state. Oof. So that, like, put her on the map. And she raised a ton of money. Like, literally a lot of money. Because everybody saw it and they were like, oh, man, she's got the momentum. People really like her. You know, black people like her, women like her, mm-hmm. Hispanics like her. Let's give her some money. Let's see what she can do. Mm-hmm. People didn't necessarily expect her to kill the election.
But they thought things were going to go a little bit better.
Yeah.
And they did.
She lost really bad.
She got hurt.
She got hurt. She was injured.
She was injured.
The thing that I wanted to talk about was, like, why did that happen? I mean, she had some obvious, like, gaffes initially in her campaign. Initially, she tried to go back from the abortion thing, which is kind of weird. And then she clarified that, you know, I filibustered abortion. I am in favor of it being legal.
Didn't change my mind.
She ran a really weird commercial.
Yeah.
About, like, this. The other candidate is disabled and he was in a wheelchair. And she ran a commercial that made it seem like being in a wheelchair is a bad thing.
It wasn't cool.
Yeah,
it wasn't weird. A real cool decision.
It was kind of like the Nikki video, in that somebody on your team should have told you.
Yeah, somebody should have been like, "Hey,
this is not a good look."
Nah, no.
But that honestly, that wasn't even. I feel like those things didn't.
I don't think that they. Yeah, they didn't help. But I don't think they were enough to. Had they not happened, I don't know that she would have been like, "Oh, clinched it."
Yeah,
done. Got this. Got him.
But the big thing that people kind of talked about, or that people circled around, was that she lost women.
Yes. They were like, Wendy Davis, she failed to get the women's vote. She didn't get the women's vote. You know, all this type of stuff. People are bemoaning all the women that Wendy Davis didn't win. Interestingly enough, I'll give you a little detail about these women. Mm-hmm. They are only white.
Yeah. I mean,
because I don't count in Texas, at least in the context of this conversation, me being both black and a woman, I can only be in one category or the other. Because I want to say it was like, I think 93% of black people voted, which is a lot.
Sizable.
I was going to say 93%. If you're even going by high school grade scale, that's a solid A.
Yeah.
Okay. You're no longer in the A-. So 93% of black people in Texas voted Wendy Davis. You know, they wanted her to be in office. And I would assume that a good amount of those black people were women.
Yeah.
But, yeah, white women, though, they dropped the ball. Hispanic women, they came out. Latino and Hispanic folks came out for Wendy, like, as a whole. And the women, they came out for Wendy. And, sorry, whenever I refer to someone as Wendy with no last name.
It sounds like Wendy's.
Only, no, I don't think of Wendy Williams.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I don't think of Wendy's, like,
Frosty. I think about Wendy's, too. But I think about Wendy's anyway. But... Yeah, the main people who didn't, these women, I guess, like the only people, you know, to whom this title applies, white women, they're the people who didn't vote for Wendy, which is interesting because of the obvious. Wendy Davis
is white.
She's a white woman.
She is a white woman. You would think
that she couldn't get her folks to put on for her.
Like, at all.
At all. They were like, no.
They couldn't. They were doing the Heisman on her. Like, at all.
No.
See what I did there?
I see what you did.
But no, so yeah, and
sorry.
That was terrible.
That was, but I'll take it.
But no, like, you would think that considering her appeal, you know, she never used the term feminist, but mm-hmm. considering her clear feminist appeal, she's...
Absolutely. I mean, if you just break it down, she's like a peppy, attractive white woman running for office. And in general, women running for office is something that... never happens for a variety of reasons that we may be able to get into later in this episode, actually.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with the sneakers and the abortion filibuster, like, done.
She had her street cred.
Yeah.
So it's like, my question is what happened? But the thing is, it's not that surprising considering Texas. Also considering voting trends. So people tried to come for, like, people tried to say in an election, the only reason we voted for Obama was because he was black.
That's it. Because there's, of course, you know, obviously 70% of the population of the United States is black. And obviously, you know, we got him in office.
Yeah.
All, you know, 250 million black people.
We only vote for black people. We voted for Herman Cain.
Yeah, we love him. Jesse Jackson. We saw him. Shirley Chisholm. That's right. You're forgetting all the greats.
Yeah. I mean, that was the only reason we voted for him. Because we haven't been out here voting Democrat. Since
the 60s. Since,
yeah.
Like, straight up, like...
Since forever ago.
Them Kennedys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, what's the deal? We're out here. We're doing the work. We're doing the hard part.
Yeah. We're actually, like, truly getting to the polls.
Then why can't liberals in Texas... We didn't even need that many. Like, Texas as a whole, you know, you understand a lot of the state is conservative.
Mm-hmm.
all she really needed to capture in order to win the state, and this is not to say this is like a small thing. You know, this is a lot of people. Yeah. It's millions of people.
Yeah, I was going to say, Texas is big.
But she needed the minority vote, which includes, you know, because we don't really matter. which includes blacks and Hispanics.
Yeah.
What she got, she needed...
She, like, clinched.
Yeah.
Seriously.
She needed the kind of the millennial vote or the young people's vote.
We didn't really come out, though, I don't think, in Texas that hard.
No.
We didn't come out nationally that hard, but...
You know, I think that goes back to the connecting the dots. It's hard for us to, you know, to sometimes picture, like you said, those like, smart... Like, if I vote for this state senator, this governor, mm-hmm. what's going to happen in the next, like, 4 years as an actual result of that? Like,
exactly.
It's hard for us to actually think that, because... Ain't shit been happening in Congress for a while now.
Congress is about as popping as MySpace right now.
Folks asleep. Yeah. Like, literally asleep. So, I mean, I think that kind of led to it. So, but in addition to that, she couldn't get white women to come out and vote for her, which is extremely frustrating and surprising, considering how much she really appealed to them.
But then I have a thought. I don't actually know that much about the details of the races in Texas, but something that I've been thinking about since, like, you know, in a post-Sarah Palin world, mm-hmm. when she was, at least I would say in the millennial memory, she was the first woman, I think, who was conservative woman, who was trotted out as, like, you know, you guys can have Hillary, you guys can have, you know, this person, that person, you guys can have Wendy Davis, but we've got Sarah Palin, we've got Joni Ernst. Like, they could just, like, feminism up until a few years ago was a very academic term that only certain people would talk about in certain contexts. And now feminism has become a lot more popular, mm-hmm. a lot more commonly discussed. A lot of conservative and GOP folks, and a lot of their candidates are going to either, they're going to be supporting these, like, super conservative women under the guise of any woman is a good woman to elect. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if there were, possibly on other smaller elections, mm-hmm. if there were women who are conservative but want to still feel like they're quote-unquote doing something for women.
Yeah.
If they were able to be like, well, I'm not fucking with Wendy Davis, but
I'm a district.
Right. But I'm going to fuck with my, you know, my Republican congresswoman, even though I think what we just reached 100 women. We went from 99 to 100.
And at one time it was like 104. So we're just barely making up, like, the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Of the amount of, I mean, in Congress, it's like, it kind of sickens me, grosses me out the way that a lot of conservatives and GOP folks are using that as, like, a way to kind of just keep shit the way that it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's actually a really, really great point, because conservatives, surprise, surprise, aren't a huge fan of feminism.
Interesting.
But
plot twist.
Yeah. But it definitely seems like they're trying to, you know, use it for their benefit.
Mm-hmm.
We won't call it this, but I'm a woman too. You can vote for me.
Exactly.
You know? But the reality is, you're supporting women. You believe that this woman can do this job,
mm-hmm.
which means that she would be equal to her male counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
Feminism, as much as I remember, mm-hmm. is thinking that there should be equality between the sexes.
In theory, you know, yeah, that in theory technically makes sense. But in practice, if you look at, like I said, at Joni Ernst, in practice, the feminism doesn't quite...
it doesn't lock up.
It's not really happening.
But, I mean, and that's as a result of the, like, their actual policy.
Exactly. But then that also goes back to connecting the dots.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm biased because I have always been, since I've been a voting agent, since before then, a pretty socially liberal person, and, you know, tended to vote in a certain direction. And also, too, as a black woman, as a young black woman in America, I don't have the luxury of, like, I don't know how I feel about this issue.
Yeah.
Let me go research, because I could be on the fence. And as politics have become more polarized, the older that I've gotten, we were just talking about this. The dominant president before Obama, to most millennials, is George W. Bush. Since 2000, 2001, politics have become extremely polarized in the United States. So there's no longer any middle of the road. I can't think of too many issues where you can show up at the poll, or it can be the week of, you know, of Election Day, and you're like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
Like,
or I think both of these candidates would do something I like exactly. on this issue.
You can't really see that anymore. So I don't know. Maybe there are people who are on the fence who, you know, kind of, like, toe that line. But I think that we're talking about white women in Texas, probably a good amount of them are conservative. I don't actually know the numbers. Maybe most of them are conservative. Like, I wouldn't feel crazy saying that.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a majority.
I think there's some type, even if it's in the 50s, I think there's still some type of majority of conservative women in Texas. I think that they are going to the polls with their mind already made up. And if they see, you know, they're voting down the straight party ticket and they see some women's names, they're like, oh, great. All the better. But they're only connecting the dots so far. So they're going to the poll, that they're going with their mind made up, and they have some idea that they are going to make this decision, you know, by voting to affect some type of change. But I still don't know if they understand, like, when you talk about policy, I still don't know if they understand, like, where the policy comes out on the other side.
And that actually brings up a good point. Like, one of the other things, and this happened in a lot of other races. Maybe they don't care.
Well, it doesn't affect them.
I mean, I think they do care. This was interesting. Like, Arkansas, I think maybe it was Arkansas, maybe it was Mississippi. There was like a statute on the ballot. It asked voters to make a fetus at the time of conception a person, to define that as a person. And that was soundly rejected, like, by like 80% in like Arkansas and Mississippi, which is extremely conservative.
Yeah.
But, and they don't favor abortion at all.
No, they don't.
But folks were smart enough to know that, I don't know, this is kind of bad.
Not even necessarily bad. I could see how that sounds extreme. Even if you're on the fence, quote unquote, or even if you feel like that sort of issue doesn't apply to you, that sounds extreme.
Yeah, I mean, it is extreme. But it's interesting that you have these candidates, these conservative candidates, who, you know, their rhetoric is filled with, I don't support abortion, full stop, at any circumstance. Yeah. And then they would vote in favor, or excuse me, against an amendment that basically supports that position.
Yeah.
So it's crazy, like going back to your point, exactly. People aren't really making the leap. They understand the differences of the two. Mm-hmm. But they aren't making that connection between this person says this and the policy of what that means.
Yeah.
Is this really crazy shit?
Yeah, it's again, to repeat, connecting those dots.
Yeah, so I mean, hopefully they can kind of get that together. And there was another article that you mentioned, like it said basically like Texas might kind of stay red for a long time.
Yeah, stay red or like continue.
Continue to be red.
Right. I didn't think this was a recent change.
But I mean, and I think we're going to get momentum in the next presidential election, hopefully.
I think so. I think there's enough, honestly, it's enough wild shit happening now that I could definitely see what 2016 is. What year is it now?
It's 2014, about to be 2015.
Right. So yeah, the shit's about to kick off. I mean, the climate right now, it's like, I feel like if I put my finger in my mouth, put my finger up in the air.
You should have did it like a pop.
Exactly. Like, I can't do it. I think that like the climate right now, some shit in the air.
But
2016 might be some shit.
Yeah, and I think it could happen. We just need a strong momentum. We need, you know, millennials got it. We have to find a way to get consistent. And I think if conservatives continue to do the crazy shit that's going on right now.
See, now, you know what? You just start talking. I don't want to talk about 20. You know what? Sorry, I just like, I'm like grabbing my forehead right now because I'm just like, candidate.
Oh, yeah.
Presidential candidate.
Yeah. Because okay, there's a possibility that Hillary couldn't run. Oh, not couldn't run, but doesn't run. And then some people aren't sure. Some people aren't sure.
I know, you know what, though? That's like when people are like, you know what they say. Who the fuck is they? Who are these some people? Shut up.
I've literally heard somebody say that. I don't know if Hillary
on the bus?
Run. Well, no. It was actually on a train. We were
stop. All right. Bye. But stop.
But, I mean, all I'm saying is it could happen. So, I mean, I think the interesting thing, like, to come back. It's like, what happens now? We lost all these elections. You know, we lost everything.
I mean, like,
we could
pretty much all of them. We're just gonna be glib. We're just gonna say we lost like every election.
We lost every election. Like, everyone. But what actually happens now? I mean, not that much is really going to change in the next few years, and that's probably why a lot of people didn't vote.
True.
Because it's not like if we had kept the Senate, all this new legislation that was, you know, like reparations was gonna pass or some shit.
No. Like, free weed for everybody. No. Yeah. No.
But no, it's not going to happen. And
people thought it was like, that'd be like if you thought, remember that movie where Chris Rock ran for president?
Yeah, head of state.
Head of state. It'd be just like that.
But Obama's still in office, so he can veto anything that's like really, really wild that you know, the House and the Senate managed to pass. And the only like, the kind of the worst case scenario that could happen is if you know, knock on wood, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like, happens to, you know, pass. She looks healthy to me. She looks healthy. She's, I mean, her mind is whip.
Sharp.
Whip smart.
I was going to say.
So, but if, God forbid, something did happen to her, I can see where he would have an near impossible time getting, like, another candidate confirmed.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be like, I mean, that's like, yeah, that's done.
Yeah, it's not going down. Mm-mm. You know, she's still kicking, and hopefully she keeps doing what she's doing.
Yeah.
Because she's good at it.
She's cool.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. Since the election, you know, since this has happened, we've kind of settled into it. Barack has gotten real bold. Like, homie has been out here.
What is it? It's been like 11 days.
Yeah.
It's been 11 days since the actual election day. Results day, it's been 10. Like, yeah. And he's just like...
He's like, yo, I'm out here. I'm still here. I'm still doing shit.
There's like 3 weekend days mixed up in that, okay?
I am the president. It's going down.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because initially he just came out and was like, yeah... This wasn't how I would have preferred for things to come out.
Yeah.
But he was real chill.
Yeah. And because, like, also, I mean, you know, he had to know.
Yeah.
I knew. You know he knew.
I feel like Pookie and them knew.
Yeah. Pookie and them, who he's always telling us we need to get to the polls. By the way, just an aside, I read something, some statistics. If you control for incarceration rates, I feel like I could start a million sentences with, if you control for incarceration rates, I want to say black men vote more than white guys do.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. I read
it's like at least as much, if not more. I can't remember whether it was as much or more. But yeah, if you control for incarceration rates, which, like, I don't even want to get into the fact that if you're incarcerated for some reason, you can't, like, you're not a citizen anymore and you can't vote.
You can't vote.
Or if you had a felony and you served your time.
It could be a bullshit felony, too.
Oh, man. I used to work in housing. I did, like, Section 8 senior housing for, you know, like, apartment leasing. And we would have folks come in with their, like, grandkids. You know, it'd be some, like, old guy coming with his grandkids. You run their background check.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you try to find out, you know, bills, got any priors. And you see somebody who had, like... Like you said, some sort of, like, bullshit felony.
Like a tax fraud.
From, like, well, yeah. Not necessarily tax, but something like that. That was, or it would be something that was kind of, like, just a step above a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
But happened, like, 35 years ago.
Like a bullshit drug charge.
Exactly. From, like, exactly. You know, he already had been to prison for, like he was out of prison by the time I was born.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get an apartment. And I'm looking at him like, yeah, sorry, I can't do that. It blows my mind. But yeah, no, if you control for incarceration rates, then the voting, our supposed, like, shitty voter turnout, not as fucking bad as they lead us to think.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, you put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor, because you know the bigger the fight, the better the reward. Medela, the mark of the fight. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
If you want to bring coziness into your life, you turn to Barefoot Dreams. Now celebrating 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams is the originator of everyone's favorite Luxe Home blanket. There's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's Favorite Things list 6 times. Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as its ultra-soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are each made with premium materials. Get 15% off your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code PODCAST15.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.
Interesting enough, I just started reading the new Jim Crow.
Didn't tell me. Why didn't you tell me?
I mean, I'm like 6 pages in.
Why didn't you tell me? I would have bought it. We could read together.
I mean, I actually have it on Kindle, so I'll share it with you.
Okay. Kindle to me, you know what? I'm like disconnected because I was like, Kindle. I was like, I don't like audiobooks, Eric.
It's not audio. And you can read it on your phone. You know, you, even with your little iPhone. No, it's too small.
Oh, my iPad, though. I'll read it on my iPad.
You can put it on there.
Yeah, Kindle app, I found out. I didn't know there was a Kindle app. Found out last week about the Kindle app.
Yeah. But I mean, this is a weird aside. I do actually still want a Kindle. Like, I heard people really prefer it.
My mom has a Kindle, and she... Well, you know what? I like read on my iPad, but it's like... looking into a mirror. It's like,
yeah.
It's so refreshing. It's really shiny. Fun. Yeah, it's so shiny. It's a lot. Yeah. But yeah, we should read together.
But
friend.
Yeah.
Supposed friend.
I got you.
Whatever.
I got your six. Mm-hmm. But in the new Jim Crow, like in the first chapter, they're talking about exactly what you just said. If you're convicted of a felony, you lose your right to vote. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, that really disenfranchises a huge population of us because we're disproportionately incarcerated. Surprise. But yeah, so I definitely am not surprised by that. And curious as to how we would even go about really, really changing it. Like, there are so many, like, structural things in place to really keep that system going.
It breaks my heart.
That it's like,
I don't even know
like,
if it's,
damn.
Is it nationwide or is it state by state?
That's
I think that there are some
question.
States where I think there are some states where prisoners can like incarcerated people can vote. I think that there are some states where felony people that could be housing with the felony people. I don't know if nationwide. I can't say for sure, but I know that in some states, either felony people with felonies or people who are incarcerated can vote. I think it might be a state by state thing.
Interesting. I definitely want to look into that because that's really curious. Because I mean, to me, that makes it easier. Because, and this is, we're going way off topic, but I think...
Somewhat off topic, we're talking about election stuff.
If you look at how gay marriage, like the approach to that, you know, since basically at the federal level, you know, they basically say, well, we've done what we can do for now. You know, they've really taken a very, like, grassroots state by state way of attacking it. And clearly it's going in the right way. 33 states right now.
Yeah.
Likely get
larger. Wow, I didn't realize it. Wow.
It's big. Like,
wow.
And the Supreme Court now, I think they're eventually going, like, the expectations they'll take it up soon. So, likely, I mean, the shit's going to go down. It's going to be legal.
Okay, a thing about felon voting, just quick. Two states allow felons to vote from prison, while other states may permanently ban felons from voting even after being released from prison, parole, and probation, and having paid all their fines. So, it is a state by state thing. So, go ahead.
I mean, it's going to be hard to get a large majority of people in favor of that, the way that, you know, the country has evolved on gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But that, to me, that's like a small ray of hope.
You know what? an aside, actually, when you talk about getting people change their minds about gay marriage or marriage equality, you're not supposed
marriage
to say
equality.
Gay marriage because that makes it sound like it's different than like two straight people gay marriage. It's not. But yeah, marriage equality, getting people to get on board with that. There's a lot of emotional appeal. There are a lot of like, even if you think about like what's on television or art or famous people, people care about stuff like that. If you see a famous, it's just representation.
Yeah.
It's representation. If you see somebody who looks like you or seems like you, if you're a prejudiced person or somebody who's unfamiliar with shit, that shit did change a lot of people's minds. And it made people feel like it was socially acceptable for gay people to be able to, like, you know, conform to our ideas of what, you know, a family should be. Whatever. But I'm very interested to see, because you have to make an emotional appeal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You have to make an emotional appeal to change conservative people's minds, to change white people's minds, to change people with a lot of money's minds. You're going to have to make a hefty emotional appeal just to get people to see, people en masse to see incarcerated populations as human beings.
Yeah, I was going to say as people.
As like, people. I read a really interesting article. I just covered my mouth. I'm sorry. I read a really interesting article about a daddy-daughter dance. I can't remember where it was. At a prison.
Wow.
Yes. And that was like, it was like the first time I had really read something like, you know, about that I actually like covered it. It was the first time, it stood out to me because it was the first time that I had read about incarcerated people as men with families, even though I know that they are.
Yeah.
And I've had family members, you know, be in prison for short,
same.
You know, jail or prison for short periods of time or long. So I know that people in prison who are incarcerated have families, but it was the first time I had ever read in a publication something that like made it seem that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would be very surprised. I would be very surprised. I'm very curious to see how that unfolds in the next, you know, in our generation. That may be something that we like take up.
Yeah.
But well,
I think a great start to that is even Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, again, it's that social, getting people to see,
like, the reality is, well, and clearly this is a fictional show, but it still plays at some of the clear parallels that are actually happening in prisons in terms of, you know, people who are there, not necessarily on trumped up charges, but they made mistakes and they, you know, they were convicted at this time, to serve this time, rather, and they're serving it, and then they want to continue to live and, you know, be a human being just like everybody else.
Exactly, and even just putting a spotlight on incarcerated women and specifically on Orange is the New Black, incarcerated young Black and Latino women, because people don't understand the school to prison pipeline just as real for us as it is for y'all.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, I think that's shit that needs to be the battleground.
Yeah.
The next one, since we're, you know, I mean, we're not at the finish line on marriage equality, but it's not that far off.
No, I mean, within our lifetime, it's going to be a legal thing.
Probably the next decade.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is great.
That's crazy. Yeah. I think about, like, what things were like when I was growing up.
Yeah, like...
It blows my mind.
Anyway, going back to that, if we can figure out a way to mobilize these, you know, these populations that are often forgotten, that's going to change the whole shit. But in the next 2 years...
Nah, I don't know about that. It's a lot going on right now.
But going back to Barack, like, he has made some big, big moves to try to shore. I mean, this is my assumption. Nobody actually knows what he's doing. And I put like the big quotation marks.
I know, watching you look like a creep with these little nose. But go ahead.
But the first thing he did was, and it seemed like this was kind of, I mean, to me, this was real ballsy, but it was definitely the kind of the alley-oop for, like, a larger push. Mm-hmm. But he came out very strongly in support of net neutrality.
Yeah.
And net neutrality, just to give a quick recap, the FCC, the Federal Communications
Commission.
Yep. They passed legislation to basically say to communications companies that you can't say, hey, Google, give me $50 million, and I'll make sure your internet...
You're going to be way faster than everybody else.
Yeah, like, your website is going to be lightning quick, and everybody else is going to be like, shit, it's going to be like dial-up.
Yeah, and then they're not going to go to their website, they're going to go to your website.
Exactly. So...
That's like some real Berry Gordy pale shit. Like, that sounds so fucked up. I don't know how they thought we were going to be like, yeah, fine. Yeah,
and okay. It's not like young people don't use the internet.
No.
All the time.
If I could get the internet embedded into my body, I would.
I mean, it's on my wrist right now.
It's true. True.
Like, it's crazy. I have it literally on me all the time. So that, I mean, obviously, millennials were extremely excited about that. And anybody who, you know, the tech industry, anybody, or a lot of the tech industry, except for the people, you know, the communications part of the tech industry in terms of, like, Comcast and Cablevision and all that shit. But they were extremely shocked, one, because he didn't really have... It's not like folks is beating down his door to do this, because the FCC doesn't really have a timeline of when they have to do this. But yeah, they were hyped. They were like, oh my God, yeah, this is great. And now the FCC is in a position for where they don't have to listen to him, you know?
No, they're like their own
thing. They're independent. Their own thing. But it would look really bad.
They went back.
If now that they put out legislation that comes out against net neutrality, which is I think really, really great and an easy way to make sure that, you know, millennials and young people still know that he's out here for us.
I knew the chicken noodle soup dance. I hit that yeet. I did the shmoney dance when I like was on Twitter at work again, and I saw Obama was like, net neutrality, you burnt. Like, that's not like y'all thought I wasn't gonna come up with this net neutrality. Fuck y'all. When he came out with that, I was like, yes.
But yeah, so I mean, the only thing I would have said,
he
is
got
that,
me.
Yeah, he. I mean, he's always had me. He had me at hello. But
man, we go through it.
Yeah, I mean, I get mad. But ultimately, but like, you know, I get mad at you. You know, whatever.
You stay mad at me. But okay, go ahead.
But I almost wish he would have waited a little bit, because my only fear is that, I mean, it's great to have the support now, because people, I mean, obviously morale is low. Morale is really low. But I just almost wish he would have saved it a little bit till we got closer to the election And then, you know, it's like a wave.
And they're trying to, like, pop these decisions off. Like, bam. Like that.
But the other big thing that, like, surprisingly overshadows this is he had basically said that through executive action, I'm going to grant some form of amnesty to over 5 million illegal immigrants.
That's like a mic drop. Yeah. They're worthy of a mic drop.
I mean, he didn't even do a press conference.
No.
They talked to a couple reporters.
It's not even Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? Like, the election just happened. It's not yet Thanksgiving. He hasn't gone to Hawaii for Christmas or whatever the fuck he does. He's just like...
He's like, yeah, I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, he's like, it's done. So.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. And the other crazy thing about it is I don't even remember the article. I think it was in Daily Intel. But John Boehner... I always say his name wrong, but so I got it right
that
time.
You say it like you use every other vowel sound.
It's like
than the long A.
My subconscious passive aggression towards him. But
True.
Yeah,
true.
Basically. But he actually, him and a few other conservative, or Republican, Republican legislators in the House met with Obama, and they talked to him about immigration. They were like, yo, so I know, like, we know this is a big deal. We need to get the Hispanic vote, a Latino vote as well.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a little breathing room to try to talk to my people to figure this out.
I love that. That's like, okay, so how about you give me this whole brick for half price?
Right?
I'm going to go see what I can do with my man. I'm going to come back to you on Tuesday, and I'm going to let you see how the shit pans out.
I might be able to
move this
way.
Take me in my word. Right. Like, what?
And literally the next day, there was another, like, article that came out, and a whole bunch of other, like, really strongly conservative Republican congressmen were like, nah, not going down.
He's like, oh me?
Nah, I'm not
going
down.
I'm not the one, right.
And I guess Obama heard that and was like, oh.
Washed his hands. He was like, oh.
I'm through. I'm doing it. And, I mean, that is huge because Republicans, you know, this is something you have brought up before.
Mm-hmm.
The Latino community, while the majority of them vote Democratic, there is a large portion that will swing Republican, and largely because of I would imagine social issues. There's
a little bit more variance. I think a lot of people do too. Compare like the Hispanic and Latino voting bloc to the Black voting bloc.
Yeah,
and we stay pretty much aligned on a lot of shit because a lot of things do affect us all. In a somewhat uniform way.
Yeah, even regardless of class.
I was going to say, regardless of class, like, a lot of things affect us all really, really similarly. But being Latino or Hispanic in America is such, there's such a huge range in what your identity could be like and what your daily life is like.
Yeah.
That, yeah, there's just more room for variance in there.
And Republicans know that. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yo, we got to get it together. Mm-hmm. We got to get together quick. But they can't. They literally can't. You got Tea Party conservatives, regular conservatives. Yeah. And they're just like, nah, it's not going down. It's not going down at all. To make this type of move now, there's no real way Republicans can come out and say, that's a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they have to be in favor of figuring out a way to loosen our immigration policy. Because it's screwed up right now.
Well, we were talking about Texas earlier, and obviously Latino vote in Texas is huge.
Mm-hmm.
But, so here's some statistics that were released by Pew just before the 2014 midterm elections. So a record 25.2 million Latinos are eligible to vote in the 2014 midterm elections, making up for the first time 11% of all eligible voters nationwide. Now, think about this. They talk about 2040, right?
Yeah.
When I think, are white people supposed to become a minority now in 2040?
Yeah,
is that what it is?
Yeah, basically.
Right, are they no longer the majority? I can't remember what it is.
They're no longer the majority.
Yeah, right, in 2040. So, Black population, we're not really we're not coming up in the game like that. Who's really taking over for the 99 and the 2000 are Latino Hispanic people.
Yeah.
Like, really coming through with this population. Because the demographics of America are changing.
Yeah.
If we're 11%, there are 11% of all eligible voters nationwide. Right now in 2014, by 2040, by 2030,
shit's
by 2020,
yeah.
Shit's going to be... 2020, that's only, one election cycle from now?
Yeah.
Like, this shit is going to be completely different.
Yeah.
11% at 2014 midterm elections.
I mean, 11, just to put it in context, because on the face, 11% maybe doesn't sound that big.
Oh, true.
But 11% is enough to swing any election.
True.
Any election.
True.
That's a huge number in terms of having a block or a voting block, as they say, to go any specific way. And if there's some solidarity within that,
yo,
like,
you see how we do. We do. Like, well, I don't know about solidarity, like, on the whole.
Yeah, but like, for the most part.
When we be voting,
it's like we give the collective head nod.
It's true, because even if you think about, like, we do give the collective, it's true. Yeah. We go to the poll, it's just like, right. You know what it is. And it's, we even have, like again, we were talking, who are the people we were talking about earlier? Alan Keyes, mm-hmm. Herman Cain.
Yeah.
If we see that you're truly on some wild shit, we don't fuck with you.
Yeah, you're done.
You're done. You're washed.
Don't come to the hood no more, though.
Exactly. You're cooked, you're washed, it's a wrap. But yeah, no, 11%?
Yeah.
With some solidarity behind it?
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. And, I mean, that's big. So I'm really excited to see if, you know, if this is like the first real week beyond the election.
Yeah.
Who knows what you got coming? And I mean, I have my own little theory to what I'm, you know, not necessarily hoping for, but I'm hoping for.
Uh-huh.
I think, honestly, he's going to come out more in support of states legalizing marijuana.
I wouldn't be surprised. He has nothing to lose by it. And that way Hillary doesn't have to really, if he's on his way out.
Yeah.
Right. He can kind of like loosen that a little bit and get people more used to the idea. And then Hillary don't really have to, assuming that Hillary's going to be the candidate in 2016, it won't be as difficult of a road for her to hoe exactly. on the, you know, the marijuana legalization or decriminalization.
And that would be, like, that's, to me, that would be his gift to us. Because marijuana is basically what states use.
Oh, to put
us in jail.
In jail at a ridiculously disproportionate rate.
And, you know, that would be for real, like, life-changing for millions and millions of black people across the country.
I guess so. I'm just trying to think about it. I don't know. You know what? I don't know enough about it. I need to read more about it. I don't know enough about it because I know that I, like, know a little bit about Colorado. I don't know. I need to look into it more. I remember reading a little something maybe it was a year ago, kind of just about how, like, weed legalization would be, or decriminalization is, well, no, legalization. Is good, like, on the surface, like, on the, but, like, it's still, there's still ways for it to fuck folks who look like us. I can't remember specifically, that's true. But it does open up that path, though.
Yeah.
It's a major step in that direction.
And, you know, and I think the parallels are here in New York, so the pathway of how the criminalization of weed affects us is that if we have it on us right now, mm-hmm. we are arrested. Even though in some parts of the city, in Brooklyn, the DA will throw it out. He's basically said, I will not prosecute a small level weed charge, which is great. But they use it to take you down, to arrest you, to mm-hmm. fingerprint you, to put you into that system.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you're ever, you know, lo and behold, stopped again, you're already, like, you're a trap.
Oh,
you're already,
they're like, well, you've been picked up for such and such before, so
it's going down.
It starts that paper trail.
Yeah, exactly. So even, like, that step, and luckily that's starting to change. I don't know if I agree with the way that it's beginning to happen mm-hmm. here, but that's starting to change. But that even, those types of steps would be huge for us. And I agree. I want to go back. I know the article that you're talking
about. Yeah, I can't.
It's like an interview or a talk.
Yeah, it's from a minute ago.
Yeah. But there are some things about that. It has to be done in a very specific way.
Mm-hmm.
But if that happens, that's huge for starting to end that pipeline to disproportionate incarceration.
Yeah.
That disproportionately affects us.
Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine what, like, a generation of, like, of black people would look like without us getting, like, thrown into prison. I mean, I can dream that, like, without us getting thrown into prison for, you know, ridiculous shit all of the time. But, I mean, even if we just think about a generation of black people that would not be incarcerated for marijuana at, like, such ridiculous rates, what does that even look like? I don't even know.
It's crazy.
Yeah. See, look at that. He, like, just you talking about that got me emotional. And then, yeah, if we were to start going in that direction, I think he'd be able to hook a fair amount of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I mean, we wanted this one to be a bit brief. We just wanted to let y'all know what's going out here.
Yeah,
what's
going on out here? We're just, you know, actually, I don't really know how to describe what it is, but we're keeping y'all in the loop. I mean, that's all I have.
But no, I mean, these were some important developments, and mm-hmm. we just wanted to kind of bring them to light, because it's interesting, you know, a lot of times it goes back to the same way they talked about Wendy Davis. The narrative now is Wendy Davis lost the women vote. But yeah. the truth is, this all of these things affect us. It, you know, and it's not even like trickle down effects.
No,
like,
there's some pretty cut and dry,
pretty clear
yeah.
ways that these things affect us. So, I mean, I always think that it's important to talk about politics. And I know we talk about it, you know, yeah. going back and forth. Mm-hmm. But I think this is good.
This was good. I'm very interested to like, I was about to be like, to come back and listen to this in a year. A year from now, I don't know if I'm going to yeah. want to be listening to 30 minutes of myself talking from fucking like a year ago. But
exciting to see.
Yeah, how things turn out.
Maybe marriage equality will have passed. Maybe, you know, maybe like we'll have reformed the way felons can't vote. We'll yeah. change the tie for
a year from now. Maybe I'll go to space.
Yeah. Like, with Beyonce. I'll be on the moon chilling with Barack.
Moonwalking. But, I mean, that's all you can call it if you're up there already.
True. I'm going to run. Anyway, thanks, guys. This has been fun.
Yeah. Happy birthday to me.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you.
Bye.
Bye.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.